Evening, good evening. Oh, come on, let's try that again. Good evening. It's a good evening, right? I mean, I hope you brought your jacket, otherwise you're going to be really cold tonight, but hey, welcome to Texas, right? Anyway, thank you so much for being here and braving the weather. If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 this evening. We're on our eighth lesson in our Proverbs series, moving right along. And today, of course, is many people's favorite topic, and that is lying. Indeed, a contemporary and deep-seated issue in the corporate church, the world, and anyone who walks on this planet. Amen? Amen? So let's just start from the beginning here. Genesis chapter 3, let's read the first six verses. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it,'" she added that, "'lest you die.' And then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you for the correction and the admonition that we find in your word. And Lord, I just ask that you would open our hearts this evening, especially on a topic that creates a lot of sensitivity and sometimes angst when we talk about sins that really hit home. But Lord, we want our yes to be yes and our no to be no. We want to be people that walk in integrity and that in turn bring glory to you so we can be positive and powerful witnesses for Christ. So help us be men and women of integrity, Lord, and correct us in the areas in our lives where we're falling short in the area of lying. So I just thank you for everything that you're going to do this evening. So just bless our time together, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, the church says. Amen. Amen. So tonight, as I said, we're dealing with the topic of lying. And of course, if anyone says that they haven't lied here, we have a special counseling room set up afterwards. And it's free, so please come. But it's been a major problem, and the problem originates in the fall of man. And it's important that we see that the devil is the source. He is the originator of all lies. If we read what Jesus said in John 8:44, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we serve a God who cannot lie. As we've heard Pastor Bill say before many times, we can do something that God cannot do. But lying is not in his character. Hebrews 6:18 tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. I like what Numbers 23:19 says. It says, "God is not a man that he should lie." So we serve a God who is unchangeable. He cannot lie. And we can rest in that because he is incapable of compromising his holiness. Like I said, he's a thrice holy God. But lying is actually man's natural tendency. I mean, have you noticed that no one ever had to teach you how to lie? Right? I mean, we're born sinners. I remember a lady got so mad at me one time when we were talking about being born sinners, and she said, "Well, obviously, you've never been around any children." And I said, "Well, how so?" They said, "Well, the baby, I mean, just so precious and innocent." And I said, "Well, does that baby ever cry when nothing's wrong?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, then it's lying." "I don't know what to tell you." I said, "No one taught the baby how to do that. I mean, it just does it, right? It's the flesh. It's a natural tendency. We didn't have to learn how to do it. But according to Proverbs, there are several reasons, there are causes behind lying. And it's important that we look at it. In Proverbs 14:5, it says this, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness utters lies. The number one reason, or not number one is in the term of, this is the hierarchy, but in form of our outline, the reason that we lie, according to Proverbs, is we lack faithfulness. We lack faithfulness. And this is really easy to just gloss by and not see it. But a person that lacks faithfulness in their lives, it will lead to them lying. And it's like what Proverbs 25:19 says. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. So that unfaithfulness leads to an unreliability. You can't rely on them. You can't count on them. And then it leads to a lack of trustworthiness. And then what happens? Well, they actually start to speak lies. It's kind of like if you've ever had an employee that you can't count on. Man, that is a horrible thing, isn't it? Or if you've ever had to work on a group project in college or school. I hated group projects because you had to rely on other people and they weren't going to do the work. I was going to do the work, but that's okay. It's okay. God still loves me, you know. It was hard. You know? Listen, when someone's not reliable, when they're not faithful, what do? They continue to make up excuses, right? I mean, it's excuse after excuse, and 9 times out of 10, it's a lie. You know, because as a boss, you know, and I'm not saying in this workplace, so you keep track of things, and you think, man, this guy had 6 grandmothers, and they've all died in the past 2 years. I mean, it's a big, deep-seated issue. And so when people are not faithful, when they really aren't saying, hey, wherever I'm at, like when Pastor Raul was teaching, he goes, hey, man, I was a janitor, and I was going to do it as unto the Lord. It didn't matter. You know, if we're not going to be faithful in an area, well, what happens? And then we start making up excuses. And before we know it, we are actually lying. What an amazing insight from Proverbs, you know? Because people who are not dependable, who are not consistent, who are not faithful, those are the people that you cannot trust to tell you the truth. And even in a time of crisis, it says, it's going to be like a bad toothache. Well, toothache is really bad, loved one. It's horrible. Number two, the reason that we lie, according to Proverbs, is we have hatred in our hearts. We have hatred in our hearts. It says in Proverbs 26:24 this, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. So there we go. According to Proverbs, one of the reasons that we lie, that people lie, is because they have hatred in their hearts. And you know, that makes sense. Because if you think about it, if you have someone that you hate, that you have harbored a resentment or a grudge against them, is it not unbelievably difficult to say something kind about them? Because if you do, are you not usually lying? Mario, you're lying, aren't you? Yeah, I mean, he'll tell you. I mean, that's how it is. And, you know, we want to be nice to him, and it's so subtle, isn't it? And what's interesting, it says in verse 24 that I read, it says, and lays up deceit within himself. So we actually start deceiving ourselves. I mean, think about that. And we could say, oh, no, I'm walking in love and I'm being nice. Well, there's a big difference between being nice and being kind. Nice is a decision, and it's not a character trait. Kindness is something that is from the Lord, that is produced by the Holy Spirit in the Christian, and that's what he expects to demonstrate to others. It says in Proverbs 26:25-28, when he speaks kindly, don't believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So that product, what do you get from having unchecked anger in your hearts? It's lying and deceit. Not just the lies that we are telling others, but also the lie that we are telling ourselves, which ends up becoming a lot of deceit. We become deceived in our own lives. And I think that that's so important that we remember what Jeremiah says about the heart, because so many of us, it's so easy to be led by our hearts or to be led by emotion. But Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. which makes a lot of sense on why deceit and lying go hand in hand and how we can actually deceive ourselves, right? I mean, you look at that and say, really, I can deceive myself? It says, in desperately wicked, meaning the heart is incurably sick. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Aren't you glad he doesn't look on the outside? Amen. He looks on the inside. Another reason we lie, and man, this is one we've all fallen into, is fear. It's actually the fear of man. The fear of man is a reason that we lie. In Proverbs 29:25, we know that the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap, right? But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, why does this happen? You know, a lot of times I think it's because we want to maybe impress the individual. And, you know, maybe we are insecure about our background or level of education or socioeconomic standing, and we boast, don't we? It seems like the form in which we lie a lot when it comes to the fear of man and this insecurity is we boast. And it reminded me, as in my studies, as everything is so curated these days, and people post online, but it's kind of like the couple that are on vacation and they take a photo of themselves on the balcony with this gorgeous mountainscape behind them, and they subtract that power plant that's off to the right, you know? I mean, everything is so curated. And well, why do they do that? Well, is it not the fear of man? A lot of times people, man, they're so concerned. They have to have this, you know, the right car, the right location, the right zip code, and everything else. And sometimes when that's where your security is, and when you are afraid of men, well, what happens? Well, you end up boasting, and you end up lying. And that's why the fear of man is a trap. It's a snare. But if we trust in the Lord, man, that starts to remove that fear. It starts to remove that insecurity. Like in Isaiah 57:11, it says, "And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remembered me?" Man, isn't that the truth? "Nor taken it to your heart." It's so easy to forget the Lord and everything that he has told us, the fact that he lives in us and he's right beside us. In all the blessings that we have, it's so easy to walk in fear, and then we just forget it all, don't we? We forget the Lord and what his word has said. We don't take it to heart. So that's definitely a reason we lie, the fear of man. But also another reason we lie, we all know this, there's a battle against what we call the flesh or the old man. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's definitely present in all of us. It says in Colossians 3:9 through 10, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So until God comes back for his sheep, we have a battle, loved one, against this old sin nature. Now, we call it the flesh, but the battle is spiritual that we're facing, okay? And when it says there in Colossians, "Do not lie to one another." Listen, this is not a creative suggestion for people who are maybe on the fence about whether they should lie or whether they should tell the truth. In the Greek, it is actually the grammatical form in which it's in is in the negative form. So what it is saying is stop lying. It is assumed that that is exactly what they were doing. So it's not, like I said, some kind of creative suggestion and saying, "Hey, listen, lying's bad, don't do it." He's actually saying, listen, stop lying to one another, meaning it is our natural tendency. It's a problem that we all share. And so those are the reasons that we lie. Like I said, we have this battle against the sin nature. But what's fascinating is the characteristics or the faces of lying that we see from the book of Proverbs. Because just as with pride, as we learned, lying is a practice that the Lord hates. It's a practice that he hates. It says in Proverbs 6:16 through 19, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, and then it says a lying tongue. And it goes on to verse 19 to say, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So some people, I think they think that lying is kind of a game. But it certainly isn't. It's something that God hates, and he takes it very seriously. And if we want to hate something in our own lives, well, hate the pride in our hearts and hate any lying that's in our lives. Amen? I mean, that's something that we should hate, is hate the things that God hates, but it is a serious sin. He also calls this an abomination. Lying is an abomination unto the Lord. And we know that that word is reserved for the worst type of sin. It says in Proverbs 12:22 that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. And not only that, listen, the word abomination, if you study that out in God's word, it always brings the judgment of God every time. You know, there are times when liars are caught publicly, right? And they're exposed. They're in the assembly, like Proverbs said earlier. But whether that happens or not, they will face judgment before God, period. He will judge people who are liars. It's so important to see that. Now, will we talk also about the characteristics of lying? And this one makes sense, but it still is very sad. A liar will actually entertain destructive talk. A liar will entertain destructive talk. Look for this in people who want to be friends with you. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. And then it says, and a liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue, literally a destructive tongue. So if you're a liar and you hear this kind of junk, this destructive talk, well, you entertain it. I mean, you actually delight in it. It pleases you not just to hear it, it pleases you to actually spread it, to repeat it. And whether it's gossip or slander, whatever it is. Man, I'm thankful for the Christians who shut down this type of speech. And I've known several, and it blesses me when they say, well, wait a second, how do you even know that? Do you even know that person? I mean, have you gone to them? What's the truth here? I admire people who say that. And they say it in love, but say, hey, I'm not going to be part of this, because what happens with gossip? Well, if somebody's gossiping, it takes two, doesn't it, if you're there? You know, and it's really say, hey, I'm not going to talk to you about this junk. It's sinful. It's wrong. Rather repent. We can have a nice time together, or I'm leaving. I'm not going to be part in it. It's a very dangerous thing to be a part of destructive speech. It can destroy people, and it can wound people, and it can wound people that are not believers, and they look at us and they say, well, I thought that that was a Christian. Now, we want to be consistent, and we definitely don't want to be liars and entertain destructive talk. It says in Proverbs 19:22, what is desired in a man is kindness. And this is our fourth point here in our characteristics. And a poor man is better than a liar. Now think about that. It actually says it is better to be poor than to be a liar. That's a true word, because to lie, if you lie to somebody, is that kind? Well, no. I mean, it's a horrible thing that we can do. I mean, it's unbelievably disrespectful. It's an insult upon their own integrity and a person's dignity. But the Hebrew word here, translated as kindness, sometimes you will see it translated as loving kindness. It's chesed in Hebrew. One of my favorite Hebrew words, because I didn't understand it until my wonderful Hebrew professor. Chesed means loyal love. It means loyal love. And so there is an integrity in the love that a Christian demonstrates to not only their brothers and sisters in Christ, but everyone that they encounter. Because when you love somebody, when you honor and you respect them, whether you're your friends or family or whatever, you're not going to lie to them. You're going to tell them the truth. You're going to do it in love. But you recognize immediately that lying is disrespectful. Like a friend, we learn friendship. You know, Proverbs 17:17 says a friend loves at all times, right? There is a consistency in that. But it's not true with a liar. That's why it's better to be poor, Proverbs says, than to be a liar. Number five, when it comes to the characteristics of lying, and I touched on this earlier, but it seems that we often lie in the form of boasting. It says in Proverbs 25:14, whoever falsely boasts of giving, say, man, look how much I've gave, is like a cloud and wind without rain. We know Proverbs 27:1-2 tells us, don't boast about tomorrow, for we do not know what a day will bring forth. And even in Galatians 3, it says, well, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You know, I know in the business world, you see a type of lying that's unbelievably prevalent on what we call resumes. And some of the things that we get, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, especially if it's for the church, you know. I mean, I got caught up to the third heaven in 2006. And I mean, the things that they put on, it's like, man, that's unbelievable, you know. And I had a dream and talked to Moses. And I mean, just the things that they say. But half the time, none of it's even true. Have you noticed that? I mean, I remember one time a young lady was in front of my mother. If you know my mom, well, you know, she's going to tell it like it is, praise God. And she was talking about all the things that she's done. Well, for 10 years, I did this ministry, and another 5, I did this. And my mom's sitting there adding the numbers, and she said, well, how old are you? I'm 24. She said, well, my God, there's more years there than you know, or even have lived. You know, how is that even possible? Well, that just offended her just a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of how it is sometimes, isn't it? It's what we call self-promotion. And sometimes we do it because we're envious and jealous of somebody. And we want to feel better. Like I said, it's an insecurity. But it says in James 3:14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. You see, the problem is that when self-seeking is in our hearts, when you and I are trying to promote ourselves, it actually leads to us boasting and lying against the truth. Remember, we've learned that before honor comes what? Humility. That's what Proverbs teaches. So we need to speak the truth in love and don't boast. I mean, just let the Lord raise you up. He'll do it. He'll open up the doors. You know, I remember when I was 18, before I went off to college, I liked to work during the summer and holidays. Otherwise, I had to talk to Pastor Bill all day. And so... And then do all of his chores, and then he'd get paid, you know. But that's okay. My counselor's helping me with that time in my life. And so I went out to a restaurant. It was a friend of a friend that owned it. And I remember going to the interview, and it was early. It was, you know, 7:30 or so in the morning, and I come in dress slacks and a dress shirt, and the owner's showing me around her new restaurant. And she says, so do you know how to make anything, Thomas? And it was in front of the assistant production manager, because I'd already told him I've never bussed tables. I just wanted to be a table busser. Yeah, let me do it. You know, I can make it clean. I know I can do it. And well, anyway, that didn't work out. And I remember her saying, well, do you know how to make anything? And it was in front of, like I said, the production manager of the restaurant. And I said, Pam, I make the best reservations in town. Well, let me tell you, that joke, which was sincere, I really can make a good reservation. But she knew what I was saying. Hey, I'm a blank slate. I don't know how to make anything. And that man looked at Pam, who was the owner, and said, can I have him? And she said, yes. And he said, congratulations, you're the new assistant production manager. I went in to be a busboy, and I left an assistant production manager and, you know, didn't know a potato from a tomato. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's what God does. He will promote us. He will raise us up. But if we just go in and be honest, you know, I like people who say, I don't even have a resume. I wouldn't know what to put on it. Well, good. Well, come and work for us. You know what I mean? You're probably going to be a great candidate. You'll fit right in. But like I said, it's important for us to see that. And the final characteristic of lying is when we lie, we fail to practice what we preach. I think this is the most convicting, because it's a horrible thing to live a lie. And it's a horrible thing to even be around a liar, because you never know where you stand with them. I mean, it's a tormenting thing. I don't like to be around people who are not telling the truth. But there's people who have lived their whole lives going to church. They've been in the motion of Christianity or in the practice of it, but they've never truly made a commitment to God. It's just something, maybe because, you know, their parents raised them in the church or whatnot. But they just go through the motions, and they're lying to everybody, but not just to everybody, they're lying to themselves. And that's what's most scary, because it says in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. It goes on in 1 John 2:4 to say, he who says, I know him, say, I know God, I know Jesus, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So when a person professes Christ and they live a life of willing sin, hey, we all fall, we all screw up. But if you're saying, hey, I'm a Christian, but you are living a lifestyle of habitual sin. God's word says that you're a liar. You see, a lot of us, and I've been there too, we're worried about our reputation. We're worried about what others think of us, and that's sometimes why we'll put on airs or we'll put on a religious front. Maybe we're afraid of being rejected by Christian brothers and sisters that we have known. You know, I don't know. But I know our reputation is what others think about us, but our character is who God really knows us to be. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. And, you know, people can say whatever they want about you, but if you walk in love, as my father's always taught me, you'll always win. You'll always have the victory. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. Trust me, most of the time it does not feel like it. But you'll always win because you'll fight the battle God's way, and he'll be the one who leads you into victory. It's through God we will do valiantly. Why? For he is the one who shall tread down our enemies. Amen. He wants to fight the battle for us. And so those are the characteristics, like I said, that we find in lying. But I think it's important, too, that we look at the conditions in which lying is justified. Because what you find in this world, especially from people from different faiths, they will come and they will say things to you, well, is everything in the Bible true? And you say yes, and they'll say, well, wait a second, there's lies recorded from Satan. You just said everything in the Bible is true. Oh, okay. And they'll say, well, wait a second, lying is a sin, and yet I can point out people in the Bible that have lied, and they didn't receive a consequence for it. And so it's important that we know, hey, everything that the Bible affirms to be true is true. And amen? I mean, it is the inerrant word of God. But does it record lies? Well, yeah. I mean, I read the lie from Satan, right, in Genesis 3. So I think it's important that, and this is not by any means exhaustive, but I think it's important that we just look at a couple of cases where we can see when, according to God's word, lying is justified. Because when we know lying is a sin that God hates, and we know that it is an abomination, okay, so meaning it's the worst type of sin, we know that God is going to judge it, we don't want to find a gray area in here. You know, Proverbs is black and white, and we want to walk according to what God's word says, and that's important. So in Exodus 1, I think that there's a great example in verses 17 through 19, because there are times that I believe the Bible is clear that we are justified, and I don't like to say lying, I like to say concealing the truth, okay? And I'll show you what I mean by that. Remember in Exodus here, Pharaoh told the midwives to kill all the male babies. And it says in verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Did the midwives lie to save those babies? Well, was that justified? Something to think about. Another great example, Jonathan and David. I love this. In 1 Samuel 20, it says, and it happened that day in verse 27, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? And so Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Therefore, Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. And he said to them, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Always blame it on the mom, right? Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Now we know that they fight and the spear is thrown. You'll know the rest of the story. But did Jonathan lie to his father to save the life of his dearest friend David? Yeah, absolutely. This was actually a trap that exposed the wickedness of his father, because Jonathan knew that God had said that David was going to be the next king. And so he actually is trusting in the higher authority. So the motivation behind his lie is what? It is a desire to honor and obey the Lord. Big, big difference there. So there's a concealment of the truth. Here's one that'll trouble you. How about in 1 Samuel 16, when God tells Samuel to go anoint David as king? It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, how long were you mourned for Saul? Seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So look at that. God told Samuel to lie. He said, "I want you to say that you're coming to sacrifice." Was he coming to sacrifice? No, he wasn't. Oh, y'all are so troubled. I love it. It's something to think about. It really is. Are these instances of lying justified? Well, here's the questions. Is there a desire to go against God's will? And oh, absolutely not. Do we find any desire to disobey a known principle in God's word? No. I mean, it's not there at all. Is there a desire to honor the truth as God has revealed it? Yes. Man, that's the difference. And so you can say, is that a lie? No. There is absolutely complete justification for concealment of the truth when you are carrying out God's will. It is okay to conceal the truth. And I think one of the best examples, if you want to turn to Joshua in the second chapter, and just so y'all know, when y'all go to the app, I know we've arranged Proverbs according to subject matter, and my preference is to teach line by line, just so y'all know. But if you go to the app and you click on notes under any of the sermons on there, every scripture reference from Pastor Bill and Pastor Raul and Pastor Kendall, myself, all of them will be there. So if there's anything that y'all have ever missed, because I found out that some people didn't know that, please go to the app. And like I said, all of our references are there. So in Joshua 2, we're talking about concealment of the truth. It says in verse 1, "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent two men from the acacia grove to spy secretly and saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and they came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country.' And then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.'" That was a lie. "And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out." It's another lie. "Where they went, I don't know." Well, that's also a lie. "Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." Is that a lie? Yes. So did Rahab lie? Yes. Yes. And that Gentile prostitute married into the Messianic line. Yes. I mean, think about that. Yes. And I say, God bless her memory. Yes. Amen? Amen? Man, I love this. You know, you never meet anybody named Rahab. You know what I mean? I don't think that they really understand. You know, Rahab is in the Messianic line because she took care of those spies. She concealed them. And she lied to the king of Jericho. And in James 24 through 25, it says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" So this is a real believer here. So there is a time in which we are to conceal the truth and in turn bring glory to God and let his purposes work out. And so, and now I think it's important that we see the consequences of lying, but don't get discouraged. We'll end with the control of lying and how God tells us how we can control this in our lives. But the consequences are dire. It says in Proverbs 12, 19 through 22, "The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. We have to remember, loved one, that lying does not last. It is temporary, and we will be judged for the lies that we tell. It says that a false witness in 19:5 will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. I don't know another way to read it. Amen? I mean, God takes this so seriously. It says in 19:9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. I like this one. In 21:6, it says, getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. So the liar will not escape the judgment of God. And there's a lot of people, and you know, they've lied to themselves and they walk in complete deception. But what we gain by lying will not last. And it certainly will not bring us any kind of happiness, any kind of peace. We'll end up being miserable. Number one, because we're in sin. And we'll feel that conviction. We'll be far from the Lord. It's a really bad thing to be in. I think one of the best examples, or at least the most powerful, and we all know it, is from Acts 5, dealing with the early church. And there was a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. And they lied about the amount of money that they gave to the church. And it says in Acts 5, 3 through 4, but Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? After it was sold, was it not your own and owned in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. What's so sad about this is there was no reason for them to lie. They didn't have to sell all the property. They didn't have to sell it at all, even though many of the believers were. They had all things in common, but this wasn't Christian communism. But the problem was is that they lied, and they didn't just lie to men. They lied to God. And what happened? God killed them. Yeah. Killed them both. I mean, dropped them dead. He wouldn't allow anything to come against the infancy of his church. And the problem is many of us lie, and we cheat, and we think that we're going to have that satisfaction from it. And it's a total deception. We end up deceiving ourselves. It says in Proverbs 20:17 that bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Man, that's graphic, isn't it? I mean, there lies the deception. You see, it's sweet when you lied, right? I mean, you enjoy, oh man, I got over on that person, or I made that business deal and made a bunch of money. You got what you wanted, but after you get it, God's word said there's going to be no satisfaction in it. You're going to be miserable. You're going to have no peace in your life. But the most serious consequences of lying we find in the book of Revelation. And it says in Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers or drug addicts, idolaters, and it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It goes on in 21:27 of Revelation to say, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or creates an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Man, that's powerful. In Revelation 22:14-15, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves, it says, and practices a lie. Now listen, all believers sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Amen? I mean, we've probably all lied in some form or fashion today, whether it's to ourselves or whatnot, right? Yeah, man. Three of you are honest, the rest of you, man. Y'all are going to hell. No, I'm just joking. Listen, what's the problem? We do lie, okay? We do lie. Let's just be honest. I mean, we're family here, guys. We lie. It happens. The problem is that when we make it a constant and habitual lifestyle, when we love the lie, when we continue in it, that is evidence that we are not believers, that we may just be going through the motions. And God says, listen, you cannot escape hell. Y'all ready to go home? This was encouraging, right? A lot of consequences for lying. So how can we control it? What does God's word say? How a believer can truly control lying in our lives while we're here on earth, because it's going to be a problem until he comes back. But if we want to control lying, number one, hey, this is easy to say, but we know it's hard to do, but we all know it. Walk in Christ's love, right? Like I said, you know, you're not going to lie to somebody if you love them, if you are, if you respect them, because you're not going to, like I said, you're not going to insult their integrity. You realize it's a horrible sin. But Romans tells us in 13:8-10, to owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in saying this, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So when you and I start to love people the way that God loves us and the way that God has instructed us, it'll start to control lying in our lives. It will. We're not going to have that anger and that resentment that leads to lying and deceit, because we're walking in Christ's love. It's something that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the believer when what? We're obedient. When we simply abide in the vine, he says, thank you. Now I can abide in you. You know, we initiate the process. Amen? It's important to see that. Ephesians 4:25 tells us to put away lying and says, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members to one another. It's just one word there, speaking the truth in love. I mean, it's just truthing. I mean, that's how you control lying. You tell the truth and you say it in love. But a lot of us forget that we're members of the same body. I mean, we're brothers and sisters. I was reading a department head's ministry report, and their prayer on there was that God would remind us all to encourage one another and to love one another, knowing that especially in this time, how much we need each other, and that we would realize that we are members of the same body. And I read that and said, absolutely. You know, amen. I mean, that is so needed. That's how to have true fellowship. That's how to have a real revolution, because everything revolves around him and not our own agendas or our own desires and selfish ambitions. But we can't forget we are members of the same body. But certainly last but not least in the sense of how can we control lying in our lives, guys, we have to pray for God's help. Amen. We have this natural flesh, this spiritual battle that we have to deal with. You know, and I understand that, you know, the ability of sin to control us has been rendered inoperative, but that does not mean that we don't sin. It means that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and our acceptance of that gift of salvation, we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore, but we still sin. And so we need to seek God's help every single day to control sin, but especially lying in our hearts. We have to pray and ask for his help. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Now listen, the Greek word translated in English there as weak actually means without strength. It's not saying that the flesh is weak. It's saying that it is completely helpless. It's not just sick. It is without strength. And so anytime that we try to face the trials and tribulations of this life that are in this world in our own strength, loved one, we will fail. Mm-hmm. Every time. Yeah. We'll be so disappointed. And we have to understand our need for the Lord's help. Amen. And he says, listen, watch and pray. That's from the lips of Jesus. It is so important. As Bill says often, prayer is the work. And we have to truly understand, listen, I need help and you need help in your lives to control lying. And until we really recognize that God says, listen, you need to ask for my help lest you enter into temptation. I am here to lead and guide you into all truth. I love you. Till we accept that, listen, we're going to be a very unhappy bunch because we'll never experience everything that God has for us. You know, he has a plan and a purpose for us right now. I know we all look at heaven, but we're here now. You know, this is the mission field, and we have a lot of work to do. But our flesh, man, it is just naturally geared. It's naturally geared towards lying and to deceit. But the answer, like I said, is to watch and pray. And I love David's prayer as we're closing here in Psalm 51. Will you turn to Psalm 51 real quick? I always like it when the pastor says, can you turn to Psalms or Proverbs or Genesis or Revelation? Because, man, I can find it like that. You know what I mean? Makes you feel real spiritual, you know? Psalm 51, verses 6 through 7, it says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I really love that prayer of David. Because if you look at hyssop, you know, hyssop was a plant kind of like yucca, and it was used to scrub the sores of lepers. You wouldn't take this plant, hyssop, and you wouldn't scrub a sore on your own body if you didn't have leprosy, because it would be extremely painful. But because people who have the condition, that disease of leprosy, they don't feel pain. And so they would get this yucca, or not a yucca, but a hyssop plant, and they would rub it in their sore, in the wound, and they would use that to actually remove the refuse, to remove all the dead flesh and skin, and hopefully promote healing underneath. And so David uses this symbolism. He takes it and he compares leprosy to the sins of the heart, but not just the sins of the heart, specifically lying. And that's why he said, look again, you desire truth in the inward parts. Who sees the inward parts?
Lord.
Yeah, the Lord, only God. Yes. It's our character. It's only what you and the Lord know. So he's saying, listen, sin, just like leprosy, it makes us numb.
Yeah.
It makes us past feeling. And so he's praying, God, purge me with hyssop, meaning get this junk out of my life.
Yes.
God, I need help. And it's in the inward parts, and I know that you desire truth. I know what you want, but I need help. So would you clean those inward parts, those secret parts that only you can see? That's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer because a reliance on the Holy Spirit is the only way that we're going to be able to control lying in our lives. You know, so we don't have to live a life that is just one of constant sin and not the intimate relationship that God desires to have with us, because he can't compromise his holiness, like I said, but he expects us to come to him in faith, humbly, and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, because you're God. It's not about what I want, but it's about what you want. That's why Galatians 5:6, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is so true. This is one of my favorites. This is in Psalm 119, 9 through 11, how can a young man cleanse his ways? It says, by taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, we just thank you for the time that we've had to worship you this evening. Lord, I just lift up the many, many sick in our congregation who aren't here, in the school, just everywhere, Father God. I just ask for your divine healing upon your sheep and encouragement, Lord, for those who I know have been sick for so long and it's so easy to become discouraged. And I just ask that you would comfort them and encourage them in a mighty way, even right now. And Father God, I know that a true believer, man, we desire to do all things that are pleasing unto you. But we have a battle. We have a difficulty called the flesh. And Lord, I just ask that you would, in the areas that you've convicted all of us tonight, Lord, purge us with hyssop. Yes. Remove those areas that only you and I know. Remove that death of sin and allow us to truly see clearly. For we know that the devil is a father of lies. His own resources are nothing but lies. But we thank you, Lord, that you are the truth. Not just a truth, but you are the truth. Everything that truth is, you are. And just help us rest in that and to truly watch and pray, to truly look to you, knowing that we need your help, not just sometimes, but every moment of our day. So just bless and keep us. And it's in Jesus' name we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this evening? I thank you all for braving this cold weather. But we're going to make it after all. Listen, tonight there's going to be people up here to pray with you. If there's an area, not even if it's not lying, but if it's just sickness or whatever you're going through, please grab a mask and come down and allow one of the pastors or elders to pray with you. Amen? So, but don't forget, guys, we're family. We're in this together. So let us work more than ever, especially in this time. The word of our year is revolution. But as we revolve around the Lord, let us truly, in a new way, stop lying to one another. Ask God to remove hatred, or maybe there's a bitterness in our heart. Listen, we got work to do. Yes. We need to get busy. Yeah. We need to fill our horn with oil and go. Yes. Amen? Amen? All right. Amen.